Are you looking to keep up with key trends in the marketplace? Are you striving to maintain your competitive edge at work? Looking for a career change but unsure about your next move? The Skillsharp podcast is here to help you. Join industry insiders Brian, Todd, and Mike, who will guide you through new strategies for career success.
Don't forget to visit our website at skill-sharp.com to subscribe and gain access to all of our content. Stay sharp.
Today, we are speaking with LaFern Cusack, executive producer, content creator of podcasts and new media. LaFern shares her journey from performing on stage to hosting, producing, and executing multi-platform content for ESPN, the Oscars, Dr. Phil McGraw, and Stage 29 Podcast Productions. So listen in and hear how LaFern's innovative leadership, creative projects, and next-level thinking have uniquely prepared her for the media industry. Welcome to Skillsharp, LaFern.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I was excited all week.
So, you know, you're a real veteran, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera. Can you give us a sense of how you got started and what kind of inspired your career path on both sides?
I want to say that it happened by chance, but that's a lie because everything was intentional. It's more of where my passion was at the time, who I was being introduced to at the time, hearing their stories and going, oh, that sounds like fun. Let me explore that type of field, or let me see if this is something that I want to do. So I was very experimental in my early career that gave me different experiences that I was able to pick and choose. Oh, well, this is fun. Well, let me find out more about that. And then with that, it came more introductions to other people. And then people saw my talent and then started coming to me asking me if I could do certain things or if I was available for certain things. And that's how broadcasting came about for me. And I got two radio shows that way and loved it. Did that for 15 years. And in regards to producing, started producing those shows later on. And it was more of a way for me to express who I am and share my talent than intentional. Oh, I want to be on the radio. I want to do broadcasting. Oh, I'm going to produce. Oh, I'm going to produce, you know, shows. And it happened.
And you have a background in theater. When I first met you, you were doing a show in Culver City for a short run. What's it like, you know, being a talent and having to tell stories in that way?
Yes, definitely. I moved here to do theater. I was doing theater in Chicago, just to skip back a little bit. Did theater on the Goodman stage, which was fantastic, and worked with some Emmy directing directors, Chuck Smith. He was fantastic. And just to see how his vision is to create that story on stage, it was very magical for me. And then getting that direct response from the audience. And then I came here and met up with Roby Theater Company, which Ben Guillory and Danny Glover are the owner of, and who started this company, Roby Theater, and started doing, you know, wonderful plays about history and, you know, storytelling and its original scripts. And then we, one of the plays that we were doing there got picked up by Kirk Douglas Theater and went over there. And it was so much fun just to be performing for an Equity Theater and just, you know, sharing stories, rich stories, and hearing people's experience of, you know, what they saw and what they felt and, you know, how that translated to their life. And from there, it was like, well, how can I continue telling these stories in a way that is both productive, that can share a rich history of what happened in the past or what's currently happening today to get people to think, you know, critical thinking, and, you know, to carry on a legacy. I just realized how strong storytelling is and how fun it is. From going into acting, being on stage, and then start putting up my own productions and producing those, it's just an amazing feeling to be able to tell a story and provoke change or a new thought process in someone's mind. And that's when, you know, I translated that to, you know, broadcasting and sharing the stories of our community and what people are doing to make a change in this world and how they're bringing their stories to life. I also found that interesting to know what other people's stories are and to bring that out. I love meeting new people and finding out what they're doing and what inspires them. So one of the key things I think is, like, for me, is always have that question, always have that passion, always wonder. That inspires me.
And what gave you more joy, telling the stories or being on stage acting the stories out? In other words, did you realize you had more of a passion for the storytelling aspect rather than being on stage, being on camera?
For me, I think that I find joy in whatever I do. So it's not, I think it's a different aspect being on stage than, you know, behind the scene producing it. I think there's a different technique for, like, acting than producing and getting others to bring their passion out, you know? So it's more of, acting is more of how do I personally bring out that character? And then the producing part is, how can I help others bring out,
yeah, you know, exactly. Their,
yes. So it's fun. It's fun.
Well, that's kind of leading up to my next question in terms of mentoring, or, you know, who was your mentors to make that transition? Or did you just say, do it? I'm doing it.
Brian Wright.
Oh, cool. The one and only?
The one and only.
That's getting cut. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, it's true, because it's like we talk so much. Like, we share ideas, and, you know, I ask for advice and he asks. And I mean, there are really not a lot of relationships like that people can have, that it's like, let's get together and talk about things and create things and what could be cool to create the next level, you know, type of thinking, you know. And I love that. I love to have that type of thought process with, you know, my friends. And mentoring definitely is one of the huge things that I think is very critical in development. There are so many people that just come out of college and never had the workplace experience. And just to hear the stories of your mentor or being guided in a way that is of value, you know, that is one thing I say, get a mentor, you know, find someone that can help you navigate the world, navigate your career. It's good to hear a different perspective.
Yeah, at Skillsharp, we call that, you know, hiring your quote unquote personal board of directors to kind of help you navigate those transitions. And sounds like Brian was part of your board at the time without even knowing it, Brian.
Yeah, how's that make you feel, Brian?
Oh, no.
We're going to interview you next, actually.
but let's say this, though, because I was actually pointing to my two cohorts, like, that's really what our conversations are from. And that's why Skillsharp was developed, was because we'll get on the phone and it's always, you know, within our field or within topical, you know, areas, talking about what's next level thinking and
next
how we can
level
do it.
Thinking.
But back to the mentor piece, like Todd asked, you know, you did work at the Southern California Broadcasters Association, which I had never heard of it. until, you know, meeting you and knowing that you worked there, there were several people at the station level or, you know, network level that I think were your mentors. So can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes. So at the time, Mary Beth Garber, she was the president of the Southern California Broadcasters Association. And she was amazing. She helped me navigate into the Alliance for Women in Media. She showed me what to do in regards to being on nonprofit organizations. She taught me how to, you know, put my foot ahead in regards to, well, how do you navigate through broadcasting? And she was always open. Her door was always open to asking her questions and sharing her experience. And not only that, I saw how hard she worked. And it was, you know, very difficult. At that time, there was only one woman who was a general manager at the time in Southern California for all of the radio stations, and that was Val Mackey, who was at Power. So in the boardroom of, you know, there was 32 men and two women, you know, and just to see how she navigated that world, it helped me tremendously just to know how to navigate that way. I did not really understand, because that was like my first job here. I didn't really understand, you know, how much skill you have to navigate a full board of all men, one woman, you know, and the tactics and strategies she used to get things pushed ahead in the agenda and what she needed to accomplish. You know, it was very interesting, and she was instrumental in my career. And not only that, she provided me an opportunity to go do the acting on, that was when Kirk Douglas Theater came in. She was like, yeah, go ahead. You know, she provided me with that flexibility. And I was like, wow, dang, she's awesome. Like, it was pretty cool. And I'm still in touch with her today.
Talk about your first position behind the scenes. You know, walk us through the things that you did that you believe led you to get that position.
You know, I stayed curious. I learned everything I could. I wanted to know how everything worked. You know, if I wasn't an expert at it, at least I have the basic skills to know how much time it took to cut, you know, audio or cut video, or it was always staying curious. I guess what I'm saying is that I never said no, but I always knew that if I am of value to myself, I can be of value to, you know, a company, because I know how to do, you know, producing from the, you know, bottom up. And I think that's a value for companies. If we're talking about next level thinking, how can you be a part of something and make it better? So I always had that in mind, like, okay, I'm a part of this. How can I raise it to the next level? So with the Alliance for Women in Media, you know, the awards people weren't attending, you know, I was like, how can we change this up? And I added a different award for advertising. You know, we did have like different people come in that, you know, won an award for broadcasting on air, you know, producing this and that. And then when we added advertising, it was one of the most successful award ceremonies ever. And then we gained like 110% more people and money, and I was like, oh wow, okay, that's cool. But it was just like, you know, just taking that little extra step to say, how can I think out of the box? How can I take that to the next level? How, in what ways would be beneficial for the organization, and what can we do next? Like, how can we stay ahead of the curve? It's like, okay, let's develop some more ideas. Okay, what can we do next? Like, what would be exciting? Like, and that's so fun.
Yeah, would you say the next level of thinking just in general is your superpower? I mean, yeah, maybe you're super. You just had to kind of focus your energies in a particular way without even knowing it.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Todd. No, I didn't see it like that. But yeah, I think it is a superpower, because the energy behind an idea, when you feel something, you just know that you know it's going to be right. Like, you know, I was doing podcasting when podcasting came out. No, everybody's like, what do you do, Laverne? I'm like, you know, this is like,
well, you know,
no, I don't.
It's very akin to a physician and next level thing. They're so focused on being a physician or studying for, you know, their boards or whatever. They don't have the next level thinking. And you find a lot of leaders in the medical profession have that next level thinking, maybe got their MBA, but they're focusing their superpower more on, you know, what's next. How can we change things? How can we make things better?
Right.
Same thing with, I would imagine, actors. I don't know. I'm not an actor. Never acted in my life, except for the sixth grade play. But other than that, you know, there's no next level thing. You're so focused on your craft.
Right? Yes.
So people that go from front of the camera, like Clint Eastwood, he's got, you know, next level thinking about how to produce a story or the human condition and how it kind of works in, you know, different storytelling methodologies. But that's what it sounds like you have.
But, and actually, so I also did, I was at a company for like marketing, entertainment marketing, and I worked a lot with promo producers, and they're so in the grind. Like, they have to create content, like boom, 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 boom. And a lot of the creatives, you know, because they were in the grind, they didn't have time for, you know, okay, let's create this, let's do this, this. It was just a constant flow of work. And what is it called when you're just in that little bubble and you're just trying to get work done? But a lot of people nowadays are in that. So it's in that type of mindset where they don't have the luxury to sit back and have that type of next level thinking, because they're trying to survive. They're trying to get through, you know? And I mean, I've been there too. And it's so stunting. Like, how can I get out of that? How can I provide myself with that space to have those thoughts and those ideas flow and to talk and engage? And that's what I love so much about, you know, your guys' podcast, is that you guys do that. And you're able to, you know, talk about, well, how can we create, you know, this next level thinking? What can we do next to help, you know, people in an industry or what's next, you know? And that's very exciting. It's very useful.
You said something interesting earlier, Laverne, with respect to your curiosity, asking questions. And, you know, I'm one of those people that believe that the questions that I ask myself are the questions that are going to focus me on that next level. And sometimes the next level isn't as grandiose as we may want it to be. Because, you know, you asking those questions and you being in environments to where you are, quote unquote, entry level, makes me think back to the discussion that we had with Roy Hamilton, who worked his way into being one of the top executives in sports broadcasting. But this is a man who went to one of the best schools in the world, UCLA, played basketball, played in the NBA, and decided he wanted a career in broadcasting and media. And this guy, after playing in the NBA, effectively became an intern. He's a grown man that had the forethought to say, you know what, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to ask as many questions as I can, and I'm going to learn everything that I can. And look what happened. He transitioned from an intern, a late stage intern, into, you know, one of the most well-known and more successful executives in that industry. So that next level doesn't necessarily have to be something super grandiose. It could be something as simple as, you know what, I'm just going to become an intern or take this quote unquote entry-level position, learn as much as I can, and then move to the next level.
Absolutely. And I see Roy as one of my mentors as well. He's amazing. And I met him through Brian. We were on a panel together, and he was able to help me see clearly a direct way to communicate my talent and skills. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this man is amazing. He's definitely one of the people that I look up to, and I'm in constant, you know, awe of what he has accomplished and what he's doing and how he is in continuous motion of developing his strategies for success.
Yeah, and he kind of shared with us about how he developed these mentors along the way. And people would just want to work with him because they saw how hard he worked, and he was always asking questions and testing their intelligence, but he was always trying to soak up their intelligence and how he could use it for his career. So that was an interesting conversation that we had with Roy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Same path as you know that you followed as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun, and then it's like I was thinking to myself, like, how do you know if that's what you want to do if you don't try it? Like,
right.
You could say, oh, I want to be a president of a network, you know, but once you're there or that experience, like, is that what you want? Or did you want to try something else?
Well, and talking about breaking barriers, you know, as a female of color, how difficult was it for you as a female to kind of break into the world that you're in now? Because you said it was only a handful of females in executive roles. You know, how do you get noticed?
I think having a superior level of work ethic, knowing what you're doing, first of all, presenting yourself in a way that you're able to stay ahead of the trends, you're able to communicate in a way that helps other people excel. You know, I always feel like you have a team. You can't do everything, but what you're doing makes a difference, and how are you contributing to making a difference on that team? How are you putting your best foot forward? And I always say, you know, my work speaks for itself, but I did have to recognize that people are always in their own world as well when it comes to work situations. This was another thing I learned from my mentor, Brian, is that you have to be able to express what you've done. And it's not a bragging thing. It's like, yeah, well, here are my accomplishments, or, you know, find different ways to make sure that your work is recognized. And what is it called? Like, you know, you can have your old PR firm, like Brian's my PR firm.
Yeah.
It's very important for you to know your skill set, what you contribute, and you have to let people know. As uncomfortable as that may be, it's important. And, you know, I think we're at a time now where there is no more shrinking. You can't shrink down anymore. You have to stand up for, yeah, I did this. Yeah, I created this. That was me, you know, and not be shy about it. It's
yeah, you know, LaFern, you'd be surprised, but the executives that I interview, they're in a position where they are now at an executive level, whatever company that they're at, because they're able to tell that story and their accomplishments. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's no mistake that, you know, you see people maybe at the mid-level, they maybe really haven't honed that messaging as much, but at the executive level, they've always honed that messaging, and it's very crisp and very tight.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's just like, you know, we talk about, you know, LinkedIn and, you know, what a great tool that is and how you can successfully navigate that. And well, okay, be an interview for a podcast about, you know, all the accomplishments that you had. It's like, yeah, own that, you know? Yep.
So LaFern, your
we are.
Career has always been about, well, I say careers are made by giving, right? So when you're interviewing people, you're getting people to tell their stories. And then as you go another layer into those questions, because you're curious, they're then getting a new feeling, a new spirit about, you know, how they're telling their stories, what reaction they're getting, the opportunity to share their stories. You know, I want to kind of have you speak about, there's two, I guess, work experiences. One, just your time at ESPN, where you were doing the experience with LaFern Cusack, who has a named show with their name in the show. That's crazy. Who were some of your best interviews where you got out stories that you didn't expect to get those stories out?
I remember this gentleman, Roy, who started this advertising agency, and he's huge. He had all these huge campaigns and, you know, he was great at storytelling, right? But just to find out how he got to where he was, but also what made his life what it is. Not only that he's this huge, successful owner of an advertising agency, but how his life became what it is because he stopped to think of his family. Yeah, he's you know, doing a Walmart campaign and Southwest campaign, and but when it comes down to the basic thing of what makes his life real is sharing his experiences with his family, his friends. And I think it broke down the essence of who he is, because people saw him as a person that, you know, is hugely successful, you know, whatever he touches gold, this and that, and people always come to him asking for stuff, but he was so personable and he saw what life was really about. But he also took that expression to be able to create the next level thinking of what he's doing next, how he's creating. Roy Spence, he started writing books about his experiences and telling of how he created these great campaigns. I really loved that interview. I learned a lot. And I still think of him like today. Like I still follow him and see what he's doing and stuff. I really loved my story with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he is such an intelligent man. And he wrote a book about Black inventors for a young book of for children. And he talked about how he saw everything in jazz, you know, like playing basketball and jazz and like his love for music. And it was really a great perspective to see how his mind worked. Yeah, he played basketball, but when it came down to it, it's about the expression of himself. And I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a very thoughtful person. And did you feel like you had to pull that out of him, or he already knew that was his superpower?
He already knew. He knew. He's like, yeah, I'm playing basketball, but, you know.
Yeah, growing up in New York and coming all the way to the West Coast to play basketball for UCLA, it was like culture shock, right? When he was in this little bubble in New York and then comes out to LA with all the celebrities and what have you. And of course they're doing great, winning championships.
Yeah.
So, you know, his attentions were being pulled in so many different directions, but he is a very thoughtful person at heart.
Very thoughtful person. And he knows he has a straight shot of what he wants to accomplish, what he wants to share. And he doesn't, you know, all the rest of the stuff, it doesn't even seem like it infiltrates, mm-hmm. you know, his mind, his body. It's just like, look, okay, this is what I know. This is how I'm going to express it. This is exactly who I am.
So LaFern, ESPN, well-known network, well-known content, yes. Certainly a next level for many of those people in that industry that may be looking to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about you know, what you were doing prior to ESPN and how you got the opportunity to actually go over to ESPN. Walk us through that.
Yeah. So working for the Broadcasters Association, I dealt with all of the local television and radio stations. And within that, radio people know how to have networking parties. So it's like networking. And I dealt with all the radio stations on a daily basis. When ABC, Disney had four radio stations, and then they decided to sell off KLOS. They sold off KLOS and another station, and they kept Radio Disney and ESPN. So they needed someone to come in right away to do a show. And I was contacted and said, hey, Laferne, do you know someone that can fill in until we figure out what we need to do with these shows? And I was like, I could do it. And then I went in and I was there ever since. And I blew them away, Mike, you know, with my talents and skills.
No, that's excellent, because you put yourself in a situation to be successful by the curiosity you mentioned, by having mentors, yes, by networking. You set yourself up to receive that contact, to, using Todd's phrase, to tell your story. So my story is, when you contact me, hey, I can do it because I've done all the, exactly. And look what happened. You killed it.
I was willing to do the work. Are you willing to do the work? And I was, and I always am. And that's the one thing I think about myself is like, yeah, I'm willing. And I'm capable.
And that is a great subtext for this episode. Next level thinking. Are you willing to do the work? I love it.
Yes, exactly.
Now, there's one other amazing, you know, I don't like the term entrepreneurial. I just like, you know, the fact that people are entrepreneurial and applying their next level thinking to their business. But you are part of the Marketing Association. Can you tell us about the creative unit that you created and who you had coming through telling stories again?
Yes. So this organization, Promax, dealt with, again, the entertainment industry. And Betsy Skolnick came in and she ran the Bill Gates Foundation. And at that time, I was working the area for mentorship for executives. And she came in and she was like, you're a producer. And I was like, what? She's like, you are a producer. And she got me in producing content and shows and conferences. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I could do this. And then it just gradually developed. I was like, what if we create a digital aspect where all these executives, all these middle and executive levels can come, share their experiences, and also learn through, you know, content on demand. So created a new digital aspect for that, and then started creating short form content with their work and sharing their work. It was wonderful to you know, have, you know, some of the top executives at networks for, you know, Fox and for ESPN and ABC come in saying how they produced work to create these top level entertainment brands, Nickelodeon, how they set the campaigns. And it was very thoughtful and it was useful for people wanting to come into the industry, and it proved valuable for the organization itself.
Fern, how many years ago was that?
6-7 years ago.
Okay, so you're telling us that you created a professional or an executive level masterclass.
Yeah.
And yes. You know, two or three funding rounds later.
Oh my gosh.
Someone took your idea. I'm teasing about them taking your idea, but still billion dollar idea, maybe, you know. So kudos on that.
Thanks. Yeah. And it's funny because when you're doing the work, you don't even, it's interesting to hear how other people view it, though. You're like, oh yeah, I did this and this. And then they're like, oh, well, just like you said, oh, that sounds like a masterclass. Oh, wow. Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Right. You took that same concept though, right? With Max Edwards and what you did for AT&T and, you know, some of the producers mm-hmm. that were on our show is actually full-time over at CBS now. So you did the same thing, man. Yeah, you guys are like superpower twins.
Well, you know what though? It's a formula though, right?
Yeah.
Well, Brian, like, so when we first started out, we both created the, I called it the 5-minute miracle. I said, what we're going to do, we're going to have all these HR people come in, and then we're going to have people that are looking for jobs, and then they can pitch who they are in 5 minutes to all these HR people. And I wasn't thinking, oh, people are going to get jobs from this. I was thinking, oh, this is just for the HR people to know who's out there. A lot of people got jobs from that. And I was like, oh, wow. And then people reached out to me. This one woman got a job with Oprah from that. I was like, oh my goodness. I was so excited. Now she has her own company and she's developing content herself in Wisconsin. It's like, oh my gosh, Chicago, Wisconsin area.
Wow.
Minnesota.
Yeah, to my knowledge, LaFern gets the naming rights for Speed Interviewing. Right. I had never heard about it before she kind of described, you know, just having people kind of, because I think people were only saying Speed Networking back in the day. And she actually, anyway, created Speed
Interviewing. Yeah, and then from that, people from the MIW, Most Influential Women for Radio Inc., they called me, asked me how I did it. They started doing it. Then it went to another state. And then they were doing it for the Alliance for Women in Media all over the U.S. So I was like, oh my gosh, how awesome. And they're still continuing to this day to do it. So it's one of the things that we created, Brian, that is still continuing on today.
So LaFern, as far as your next level is concerned, today, you know, what are some of the things that are on your docket that you will be attacking over the next few years?
I love that question. And I love creating content, and I started my own company as well. So I also produce podcasts for the Oscars podcast, which had on Whoopi Goldberg and some amazing guests. And it was fantastic, a fantastic series. And I think we're continuing with that, but that's on my end as, you know, a producer, creator, and, you know, content developer. So I'm gonna continue with that. I'm gonna continue to, you know, have the next level thinking for Inferno Productions. And, you know, continue to stay interested, stay passionate, and create content that makes a difference and that's fun and entertaining. I don't know where podcasts are going. I know that podcasts, took off during COVID. Everybody was at home and, you know, we realized, well, we could do podcasts from our house, and it's just, you know, the listening audience has expanded, and now all the radio stations are buying up all the podcasting networks. But it's great. It's great to see that. But where can we take this? Where can we take podcasts? Because everyone could produce a podcast. Anyone can. But how are you going to make your content unique and make it stand out? Or change the platform. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and how did the Oscar podcast come about? Talk to us about the genesis of that.
Oh my goodness. That was through, I met a woman through my son's class who was doing entertainment marketing for films. And I was like, do you guys have a podcast? I asked her, I could create one for you. She goes, no, I don't think we're ready for that now, but you know, I'll keep my eye out. Then she got hired by the Academy. And she called me up. She's like, Laferne, could you create a podcast for it? I was like, yes, I can. Yeah. So it was again, me just, you know, talking and say, hey, do you have a podcast? What are you doing? You know, here's some ideas, possible ideas that, you know, maybe think about that.
We're going back to your curiosity, Laferne. You weren't just curious, but you were curious and you started to ask questions of individuals to learn things. And then the third thing is you can network just about anywhere, can't you?
Absolutely. And that is, the key is action. You know, we can sit and talk, but take it to the next level with action. Without that action, you know, it just sits there. And then someone else creates it. And it's like, no, I'm doing it. But also, because I was curious, because I asked the questions, people knew. So if you're looking for the next level, if you're thinking of taking the next step, let people know about it. Because not everyone's mind readers, right? Let people know. You never know who's looking for what, or they could be looking for you. Just like the Oscars, they found me.
Well, especially now too, in the time of COVID and, you know, maybe 18 months ago, right? Production was shut down. There was no music touring. You saw more and more mainstream artists move to more of the digital platform or even creating their own content. And have you seen more and more, well, quote unquote, mainstream artists be more open to doing something digital, podcasting, vlogging? Because we got all these great new platforms these days where they can get their creative content out.
Exactly. Yes. And I also run Dr. Phil's podcast network. We have on there Vivica Fox. She's, you know, doing her own podcast. And we have several other people, Alec Mappa. And there's so many people that have created, you know, their own podcast over, you know, this past year and a half. Is truly amazing. But then it's like, with that though, people realize, oh, podcasts take work. It takes work to get
talent.
It takes, yeah, talent and work. So I definitely have seen a rise in, you know, companies, you know, even agencies, you know, creating the space for podcasts and bringing in their most valuable clients. That is another basis for expanding their brand. And it's a great way to expand your brand and to let people know about what you're an expert at, what your expertise is, what, you know, it's a great way to, and an easy way to do that. So in radio, we always talk about when radio came out, and then TV, they're like, oh no, nobody's gonna listen to radio anymore. And then it's like, no, that's not really what happened. And then, you know, podcasts came out and they're like, nobody's gonna listen to radio or TV anymore. But it's more of an expansion of the brand versus, you know, someone's taking something away from someone else, you know. So when in advertising, it was like, okay, well, we're going to spend our advertising dollars on radio. Okay, now we're taking our money to TV. But if you put those two together, you get an extra bang for your buck, because you have the listening audience and the television audience.
Yeah, and that's why I think you're seeing a lot more social media influencers or podcasters with various followings looking to develop their own products as well. Right.
Exactly.
And exactly. So brand extensions based upon their brand. But how do you curate somebody's brand? Let's say a mainstream, you know, celebrity, let's say Vivica A. Fox, you know, do you find the white space of what that podcast is going to be? And or do they come to you with an idea?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah. So and then we bring it down to make it the best possible product ever. You know, so, you know, you could, someone could come saying they have an idea for a brand, but we have to figure out who their audience is. Who's going to listen? What are the current themes? How can that be expanded into other parts? You know, so Vivica is, you know, she's an amazing entrepreneur. She has so many, she has seven jobs, mom, right? she has a lot of jobs. So she talks about, you know, hustling and how she got to her through her career. And then she brings on people that have done the same, and we pull, you know, their experiences, and just like you guys are doing, well, how did you navigate this way? How did you do that? Well, what advice do you give? How do you support that? You know, and then, you know, make it inspiring content that people want to listen to and engage and learn.
It's almost like the Oprah playbook, right? Inspirational leaders and storytelling from that perspective. And those are some of the things that I think with COVID, I mean, it showed how much, or how sticky the podcast could be. And in terms of getting content, because, you know, everybody's battling for, you know, the eyeballs, or, you know, the listeners, right? And the followers, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting the messaging out and putting the content out in the ether. But without the brand recognition, it's more difficult. If you have somebody with a brand already, I'm sure it leads to a lot more followers a lot faster. Right.
Yeah, because I also run Dr. Phil's podcast, Fill in the Blanks, mm-hmm. and his Mystery and Murder. I'm a producer on that. And he had like a built-in audience. You know, he has this huge television show, a huge audience. And, you know, they followed him to the podcast. But then you have people that have huge audiences and are well known, and their podcasts don't do as well. Well, why is that? Is it, you know, what kind of content are you sharing? Like, just because you're a name doesn't mean that your podcast is going to be a success. And just because you have on these huge guests doesn't mean that that podcast is going to go, that episode is going to go number one. It's like, is it engaging? Is it, you know, there has to be something more than just a name. And that's what I've seen. You know, it's like, okay, you can have on all the big names, but
yeah, and that's a white space you talk about, still, right? In terms of directing somebody's brand.
Yeah. Yes,
absolutely. But you got to have a good executive producer like yourself. So, you know, take some credit for
yes.
it. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And
she's being a little modest.
And it's been fun.
A little modest?
Yeah, a little modest with the talent that was on the Oscar podcast. Because I don't think we heard that lineup of people that you interviewed. Or that... was it Mitchell, or who was the... Elvis Mitchell, right?
Elvis Mitchell.
Come on now.
He's so fantastic. Like, when I was like producing with him, I would hear in my head, okay, ask him this. And before I could write it out in the chat, he did it. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yes, you're brilliant. I kept texting. I was like, I know I've said this before, but you're really brilliant. He goes, yes, this is very kind of you. I was like, no, you just don't understand. Like, I thought something and he did it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was just like, it was such a pleasure to see him work. Yeah.
Well, you know what they say about great minds, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we had Ruth E. Carter on there, and she, you know, won an Oscar for her costume design, and she did all the films with Spike Lee. And again, Whoopi Goldberg was on there talking about her experience, you know, coming with the Oscars, and she was so generous and kind. And let's see, who else did we have? Bill Conti. He is the Oscar-winning composer. He is, and he won, you know, he wrote
Rocky.
Yes, thank you.
So LaFern, this has been great. How can people get a hold of you or learn more about what you're doing?
Yes, I am at LaFern Cusack, LaFernCusack on Twitter, Instagram. And if you want to check out Dr. Phil's podcast, it's drphillintheblanks.com. Check it out. I do that website too. So, and all of his social Dr. Phil podcast. You can see all the work that I do, and I'm on LinkedIn. And I want to thank you guys so much for this time. It's really great to speak with like minds and get that next level thinking.
Yeah, I love your story and the journey. It's definitely demonstrating next level thinking all the way through. So no, happy to have you on.
Thank you.
You're living that dream that many people want to live. LaFern, you may not realize it, but you are certainly an inspiration for people listening to what you have done and being able to follow some of your steps. And I thank you immensely for that.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian, Todd, Mike. Thank you, guys.
That's great.
Thank you for listening to SkillSharp, the podcast. Send your questions and comments to podcast@skill-sharp.com. You can follow us on Twitter @SkillSharp1 or visit us online at www.skill-sharp.com. This is Mike Daniels signing off for Todd Nakasone, Brian Wright, Alyssa Pruitt, Will Kelso, and the rest of the team at SkillSharp Studios. Until next time, stay sharp.